What up, though? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all. Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. We live. We live. Maria.
Y'all love that little song.
Really, that little song. It was a big song. Thank you very much.
Not to me.
Growing up in Spanish Harlem. Because you ain't never been to Spanish Harlem with a Maria walking past you. A Marco. Let me stop.
No, I haven't.
You are watching us on Facebook or YouTube, but you are listening to as well. What works for us? All black.
All queer.
Give me a beat.
Shout out to Paula Abdul. I didn't know she was, she had went back to American Idol as a guest judge.
Oh, girl. Well, why? Katy Perry didn't show up.
I don't go up for Paula Abdul, but I do feel like she's underrated. So I'll just, I would give her flowers.
Speaking of flowers, I think it was because Luke Bryan got COVID. I think I read that somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah, so he wasn't able to do the first episode or something like that. Don't quote me. I just remember seeing that somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, shout out. Mm-hmm. Well, Edmondson and Paula Abdul know what time it is. Luke Bryan know what time it is. You and I know what time it is. Our lovely watchers on Facebook, YouTube. I like this bit. I'm kind of nervous being on live on Facebook because I feel like, I don't know, like somebody could be just looking at me, act stupid, but they know what time it is. It is time to what?
Check in.
So I go first because you always want to go first. And like, girl, it's my turn to go first. Flip you too. What am I? You know you don't care, girl.
I don't care.
Don't be flipping me yet. I care. Well, you know, I'm a little rah-rah because I spent my Sunday binge watching 17 episodes of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And so I'm just ready. You know, my girl Kenya. I really do like Kristen Dior. Shout out to Kristen Dior. Which
hey,
I
hope
we on the next episode because I was like, girl, it's your time to come back. I mean, I guess we could do a Zoom with all of us. Does it work right like that? I don't know. I guess so. It would be the same way. I don't know how three people look on the camera, but she was just so convincing that I would really enjoy this season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I have to admit, it was juicy. It brought me back to like the old Housewives of Atlanta. No shade. I'm so glad they got rid of NeNe and brought some new energy. No, like, first of all, Edmondson, I blame you because you be knowing who these people are. Toya, LaToya from The Housewives. I didn't know that she was like this big old YouTube mom blogger and all her, like, over a million subscribers and all her kids got, you know, YouTube channels, and she's big on Instagram and all of this as this family mom blogger, because she is so ratchet and so nasty and so rude on The Housewives of Atlanta. And I'm just like shocked, like how is that even in line with her brand?
It's not. She's changed it. That's this whole thing with The Housewives is changing her brand. Like, she clearly wants to go in a different direction. Like, she divorced her husband. She got a whole new boyfriend. Like, she's on some other ish.
So that's a new boy. So I went on her page last night. If that's not her husband she's back with, that's a new man.
It's a new man. The trainer is her new boyfriend.
Oh my God. But you know, on the show, she was fucking with the prophet. And that's why Drew Sidora could get her baby baptized, because she wasn't comfortable with the prophet messing around with LaToya.
Oh my God. LaToya is off the chain, honey.
Would I tell you? No one has been that rah-rah in the history of The Housewives of Atlanta. Like, she just says whatever. Like she had me like, well, who? First of all, the editing of that was real bad because she was apparently Kenya's, and I mean Candy's friend. And I'm, yes, y'all gonna have to listen to my Housewives update because I haven't watched the show in 4 years. So I'm like, I watched it, you know, one season in one day. But the show, like, her and Kenya got this lesbian love relationship going on. Kenya admitted that she has a crush on her and stuff like this. And she talking about how she just brings the sexiness out of Kenya. And she makes her feel, you know, she's just not feeling like a real woman because of her and all this kind of stuff. But apparently she was Candy friend first. I would have, like, Candy got her first. But anyway.
Okay.
But no, she is a mess. And that whole scandal around Cynthia's bachelorette party, that was epic. It was just really, it reminded me of that back in the day with Candy and all them was fighting. That,
the Pillow Talk episode, one of my favorites. Talk,
it's like that because it just went left. And Kenya, she was just not let them, she like, no, because she's like, Portia, you did fuck the stripper. And I'm going to tell you and everybody every chance I get because you said I was a slut from the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Kenya. Kenya is not, everybody be saying that they've been lying on, and you know, everybody's been lying, saying I've been lying all these years. She's like, I'm no longer, people are going to be able to say that I'm lying. She was like, so, you know, catch it at the reunion. I'm like, oh, okay.
Kenya is really, she's always been a villain this whole show, like taking on everybody, but like she's literally the villain, right? Like she's the one that's not, but she does it so effortless and so funny. I still love Kenya. And like, I don't agree with everything she do. I never have, but she makes really good TV to me. Drew Sidora, I feel like she is the best, to me, the best cast addition to the Housewives of Atlanta since like the Phaedra and Portia days. Like she fits perfectly. You know, she told Toya, she's like, bitch, I will fuck you up. I'm from Chicago. Like she don't take shit. She brought her fine ass husband on the show. It's a breath of fresh air. And I feel like she fits perfectly with a new generation of the show. Unlike a Claudia or Kim Fields, or, you know, they had a lot of L's of people that they were trying to give that next peach to. I think Drew Sidora, I just don't see where she would not be able to handle her own. Like, she handles her own, but also she's sweet and she got coins, you know, and I feel like she has a background that a lot of people can identify with, like a housewife identify. You know what I'm saying? She was on TV, you know, she's an actress and, you know what I'm saying? Like, she ain't A-list, but you can't deny that, you know, she played the TLC movie, she was on the game. Like, she gonna let you know, like, bitch, I ain't no bum bitch. You know what I'm saying? And so, I really like her on the show. So, it's been real good. I think, I don't know how many more episodes. But anyway, that's all I did. I was late to the call today, the recording today, because still putting together furniture. You know, I told you guys that, we moved into a new place together. So, you know, I'm not a person that put furniture together. That's not like my life mission. That's not my calling. But my partner, he always does it. And so I just really felt compelled today, like, okay, bitch, I'm counting like 1, 2, 3, 4, like this bitch put all this shit together. Like I need to, like, I mean, if he gonna do it, I guess I could step in and help out. It turned, I started helping at 3:00.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, and so I will pick the most craziest one of them all. It's a TV stand, but it was cool. He's still trying to work out. I was like, listen, I have a podcast to record. I'm gonna let you have to finish this up. But it's a beautiful thing to have like that bonding time. We're in a good place. And so I just felt like it was a good opportunity to work together. But child, that shit was too much work for me. Other than that, you know, furniture, boxes, still doing all that planning, coming back to Austin this week. And so, yeah, that's really been what it is. Being domestic, you know, working domestic, yeah, being a house husband. That's it. What you been up to, bitch?
Trying to think about anything to say about Housewives. I mean, I guess I don't. I mean, no shade. I guess I haven't watched it, so I can't say much. All I know is I keep up with the Housewives, you know, well, the ones that I like. Because mm-hmm. I did watch Toya's divorce video because I wanted to know why her and Adam actually got a divorce. Because I didn't know Adam was going around being shady boots and doing interviews talking about Toya. And then now, you know, she's saying he was abusing her. And this was like recent. Like she said she was being abused when they moved to Atlanta. I kind of watched her video when she went to Atlanta and they had just the whole house tour. I watched all those videos and I'm like, you was getting abused then? You got pregnant. And then she went on a boat trip and cheated on Adam. And I'm like, well, she like the fuck? She's freaky. Like, I mean, she be fucking and sucking. And because she said that we didn't have the person she cheated on Adam with. They didn't have any intercourse, but they got physical. I was like, but girl, y'all oral transactions?
Not to even go into that, but you know, that's one reason why Kenya was upset. She was jealous because that's what she told. She's like, I like you. I have a crush on you. And you fucking around on Portia. And Kenya was not here for that. Like, bitch, you supposed to be my bitch, my girl. And you riding Portia.
Well, like, yeah, she said she don't see Kenya like that. She said she sees Kenya like an older sister.
But Kenya was sending her news and stuff. Okay, well, that's news to me.
Yeah, that's what she told Candy. She said she don't see her like that. So, you know, like, everybody want to fuck Portia. Like, you should have known if it came around Portia, she was not going to stay loyal because everybody want to fuck Portia.
Portia is a bad girl. I think her energy, I don't dislike Portia.
I don't dislike her either.
Yeah, right. It's like she really don't do nothing but keep it. Like she represents herself. Like she keeps it real for herself and how she feel and what, you know, what she all into. And I think sometimes, and just her and Kenya just would never be eye to eye. So I'm always be team Kenya. But I respect Portia standing her ground because, you know, Kenya, you know, she pushed her all the way to her butt that she dragged this bitch off the stage in a reunion.
Right. So, I wonder if what's your face got her papers to come back next season. Toya. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, maybe as a friend of the show. One thing I did notice about this season, and this show check in, but you brought it up. They really relied on the friends of the show a lot. Like Marlo was on there a lot, Toya was on there a lot, Tanya was on there a lot, Shamia was on there. Like they were active. Like they went on multiple trips, multiple parties. It wasn't just like, oh, just nothing going on. It was a lot going on. So I will say that. So she'd probably be back as another friend of the show. But when I went on her Instagram page, she didn't post about the Housewives in like 2 months. So I think she's trying to rebrand herself away from that.
Yeah, maybe she didn't get her papers back. Because I think the other girl, Fallon, that's who... Kenya ain't loyal either. Because Kenya said she wants Fallon on the show. But anyway...
She wants Fallon on the show?
She wants Fallon. She's like, I think Fallon's going to be good on the show. I want Fallon. Oh, okay.
That but I told you.
Right. She said that she was like, these hoes ain't loyal. So she said she's going to let Toya know what's up at the reunion. So, girl,
and Fallon did have the best. Me and Chrissy Dior talk about the day. Fallon had the best episode because bitch, when she would try to fight Toya, she ran through her house. But Toya's like, bitch, this is what fucking a 65-year-old man get you. Yes, like Toya's mouth is horrible. She's like, bitch, yeah, keep that. You got that cum in your mouth. You get that dick in your mouth in her own house. Like, she just straight up disrespected Fallon. But Fallon just went crazy and started running through her house and then, like, really trying to go get something. This bitch go get a golf club. So you telling me you're in this big-ass house. This bitch is in your house talking about you and your husband. And the only thing you could think to do all that was to grab a golf club in your house? Oh, no, bitch. I'd be like, pop, pop, pop. I need you off my property. You know what I'm saying? If I'm in that kind of house.
Okay.
Baby, her house was Fallon ain't no joke, baby. She living a good life.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if she, you know, she kind of like a Erica Kane. I you know, I'm here for it. We need a black Erica Kane, I think. Or Erica, not Kane, Erica, pretty mess on Beverly Hills. Even though she divorced her rich old husband, she probably about to fuck somebody young too. Anyway, that wasn't my check-in. I was just trying to piggyback on what you talking about. What you was talking about your check-in. As far as me, same old, you know, work as per usual. RIP DMX. I know I talked about that, but he didn't pass away last time. Now he's passed away. And I will say I did feel the weight of the culture on me. Like, I felt my heart was broken for the weight of the culture. I just felt like the culture, again, we took a hit. And then I saw a picture of Black Rob. I'm like, oh my gosh. Anyway, I'm trying to keep it light. I'm just saying, that's just too close to home for me, because again, that was my era. So RIP to Earl. You know, my heart hurts for the culture and, you know, for our loss. Anything else that was going on? No, I went to the Domain again today. On assignment, and it's no, oh my gosh, I don't know how people shop in the stores. There's no clothes. I'm like, how are people shopping, buying stuff in the store? Like, I had an assignment where I was supposed to be looking for stuff to try on, like, as far as color, like, you talking about color, I was supposed to be trying color on, and I'm like, I don't see no color I want to try on. This stuff is not cute. Like, where are the cute clothes? Like, I'm not about to just put on anything, some old Tommy Bahama looking shirt no, I wasn't about to do it. It's not, and then none of the fit rooms is open. I'm like, well, I can't try on shit anyway. The fit rooms
try on shit.
Yeah.
In Miami, I was buying some stuff at Zara's. You can't try on shit. I was like, bitch, nah, this don't fit.
They tell you, right, try it on at home. So I'm like, okay, so this is a bust. But I will say though, again, it's nice actually getting out. It was nice getting out. It makes me want to get out like more. And like, oh my gosh, Instagram, let me tell you, Instagram, I don't know. Some people complain about the algorithm of Instagram as far as stuff that they show them. But Instagram knows me. Instagram knows me. It knows exactly what to show me. This has nothing to do with anything, but I don't have anything else to talk about that y'all would care about. So, but that new Marriott that's downtown in Austin.
Okay. What?
You know, that Marriott, they have a new tiki bar on a roof that is about to open up. And it told me that last night. And it's like, it's an upgrade. Remember the one we used to go to in Rainy? That one, that hookah bar?
Yeah.
It's like that, but on another level, like on, you know, upscale. Mm. I was like, oh, baby, that sounds like a Dora the Explorer date. And then, you know, Tyree coming to town, Miss Kristen Dior, that sounds like something we need to go do. So I might be sending y'all an invite to go to the little tiki bar at Marriott soon, because, you know, I'm trying to be a whore and, you know, start going to all these different hotels and see what type of people's visiting town.
Okay, let's go. We should go Monday, next Monday.
Okay, I'll have to see if they open. Yeah, because if they open, I think they should probably, yeah, that'd be good on a Monday. I'm down, because I do need to get out a little bit if I, you know, because I'll just be working all the time. But
yeah. You talk about nothing. Like, shout out to you. Again, that's what I said. I don't know why I'd be like, Krista, you're she probably gonna listen to this episode. Like, bitch, I talked about me about 5 times. shout out to you and all your reels and all your videos. We was on the phone. She was like, bitch, empathy, arrogant popped up on my timeline again. I said, yeah, girl, you pushing these videos out. So shout out to you really, that's what you've been wanting to do, and you're really doing it effortlessly. So how has that process been? Like using fashion and the reels and you know, bringing that together the way you're doing it so seamlessly.
It's actually fun. Like, when I sit and think about, sometimes it's like, I'll be like, well, what the hell am I going to talk about? Like, how am I going to bring that into my world? But then once I do it, I'm like, boom, it's like, ding, 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 ding. And it's like, then I just go. And afterwards, like, oh, wow.
You was like, that
the infamous pointing that nobody likes. But you know, it's necessary. I'm just being a whore to the algorithm. Instagram is, that's where they're showing people love, so that's where I'm going. But no, it's cool. It's definitely making me more comfortable to do video. That's why, you know, we're doing video now. I actually did a live on Instagram. So it's just pushing me, like you said, it's pushing me in that direction to keep going with that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's cool. It's necessary. It's something I have to do. And yeah, that's all I can say.
To my when I was on your live, I was talking. You didn't like
it. You was too far. I didn't think nobody was going to be on there, for one. So I didn't have it close where I can respond to people. I kind of take Maya Sly kind of does hers in the car where she can't look at them. So I'm kind of like, well, I'm not going to look at mine either. Like, I'm just going to talk, you know, get in, get out, you know, but maybe I'll bring it in closer next time so that I can actually see. But then I'll be wanting to get off track because I'll be trying to be like less than 10 minutes because people don't watch videos for long. So anyway, that's that on that. We'll just see. We'll see what happens with that. I'm gonna keep going and keep on, you know, trying to keep, that's the thing about that kind of stuff though. Trying to be on trends, like following trends. It's like, as soon as something come out, you're like, oh my God, like the Soulja Boy one. I'm like, oh my God, I got to do that like now, or it's going to be old like next week.
Okay. And shout out to Soulja Boy. He is really self-proclaimed comeback. Like, I never know anybody that really promoted that they went to number one on TikTok. But you know, that means, you know, usually when they're that hot on TikTok, it's going to translate to Billboard.
Yeah.
Translate to all of that. But he has really been like, bitch, I'm back. Y'all tried to count me out type of thing. So, I really have not known anything from Soulja Boy since Watch Me Do and, you know, Kiss Me Through My Phone. So I didn't like this idea that he's coming back, like he just had this career that just, but he said he was the first viral rapper. And I never thought about it till he said it. And I can't really refute it. I guess I'm just gonna go with it. I guess who was viral before Soulja Boy? I don't.
Well, right, because isn't that how wasn't his come up? He was on the internet. He was like indie on the internet, right?
Yeah, right. He was one of the people that was kind of like a self-made, independent and all of that kind of stuff. And so I guess he was the first viral rapper. All right, you back. The song is kind of cute. It sounds like stuff that, it don't sound like Soulja Boy. It sounds like anybody else.
Yeah. But
okay, it's a new challenge. So you gonna do it?
I did it today.
You did it today. Okay, obviously. Oh, that's what Crystal was saying. See, when she was, I didn't look at it.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it was. Yeah, I did it today. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was before it got old, because I'm like, oh, this is about to be old, because my spirit animal, she did it last week. So I was like, oh, bitch, I got to do it now. But yeah, so that's that on that. Trying to think of anything else. My whole thing now is I do need to start getting some clothes while we're talking about color and stuff. I do need to start getting some clothes, but clearly I can't go to the store and get clothes because they don't have anything. So I don't know how y'all doing it. And you want to show your manicure, even though I'm talking about my wardrobe, you want to show your manicure? Okay.
You're talking about fashion. So,
okay. That's more beauty, but okay.
My bag. I mean, I guess that's not my field. So correct me.
But your nails color is cute and it actually pops with that green.
Oh, thank you. You see, I did that.
Right. that's actually popping with that green. I like it. But yeah, so that's something I'm working on, like trying to find clothes, but the stores don't got shit. So I don't know how people shop in the stores. I don't know how people go to the mall and buy clothes. I don't understand. I'm like, they don't have anything. Maybe women they do, but men, I don't know which I guess they do. I was seeing stuff in there for every, maybe, you know, you would probably like. But nothing for me. So that's my new thing. I'm trying to just slowly shop and build my wardrobe, you know, since I'm on.
Make sure you redeem your skeevies points and all of this.
No, I don't need that type of clothing. I need stuff since I'm on video, doing more video. I need stuff for that kind of stuff. Even though I saw TikTok is kind of nasty. Like, I was going through my TikTok and I'm like, what is this? I saw ass. I saw a woman take off her panties through her shorts. I'm like, what is, I don't know, this was type of stuff was going on.
TikTok is off the hook. Okay. The children is being exposed to everything.
Okay? Yeah. I'm like, this one girl, she talking about I'm 40 and she just pulled up her dress and showed her whole ass. Like, look at this 40-year-old ass. I'm like, oh.
You had to clutch your pearls.
Yeah, I'm like, What?
Was it cute? Why she was doing all that?
Well, she, I mean, I don't want to sound horrible. I mean, but considering, I mean, it wasn't flat. Like, I guess he was trying to say, you know, people think people like me, I'll just say that, have flat ones, but not this one. And I'm like, oh, it, you know, it was a little, she probably needed a tan though. It was a little palish, but you know, it was.
Oh, she was Caucasian.
Yeah, but it, you know, but other than that, I mean, but I'm like, okay, but I'm like, girl, that's what they doing. I'm like, oh no, that TikTok is off the hook kind of. But anyway, that's it on that. I'm just in social media land, social media world, doing that thing, and we'll see where it gets me. And y'all probably just see me doing all kinds of little shit, trying to keep up with the kids.
I wish you could play the busted. I would love to see this busted challenge, but it's old now. But
right, that's too old. I can't do that.
I want to see you be dropping like a good. First of all, that's your rise to fame. Okay, shaking your ass. So I think you would definitely be able to toot toot that boot boot tape.
Well, no, I can't compete with people like Jordan and stuff like that. Like that, with seeing people like her, I'm like, oh girl, nah, I ain't got all that volume that she got.
You got that little I know we're about to go into it. I know today is not going to be a heavy episode, but I do feel compelled to just send condolences to the family of Dante Wright. Again, another Black man killed at the hands of the popos. It's already been ruled as a homicide by the medical examiner. Of course, the chief of Minnesota, police department said that it was an accidental homicide. But again, another Black man killed at the hands of the police. And so I know we're not going to go there, but I just feel like we need to, as Black men and Black queer men, just to know that 2021, and it's crazy. And we, again, George Floyd, he's on trial and someone gets murdered. It's just
they pretty much already writing that one off.
Okay, but it's just a never ending cycle. So again, I guess not to even make it about just the sorrow, like flowers and love and hopefully justice at the end, but just like we said on this podcast before, like we're all anti-popo, but be careful because what we seeing, I'm sorry, oof, that was a big one. What we seeing though is, you know, it's life or death. So just, you know, think smart. You know, justice can be served in a lot of other ways, like with the lieutenant that was maced and pulled guns out of, and he's suing the police. And then what, the police got fired, but he's still here to talk about it. And again, I don't know the case of Dante, and I'm not here to, you know, make judgment or implications of what happened, but like, just think about justice that could happen on the backside of it, right? Like, I know we all want justice right there and there, but we can't depend, like, they just kill us. We see that. They would just kill us. So don't think that you might not be the one on the news the next day or that day. Think about your life.
Just ridiculous. I don't want to talk about it. I mean, cut you off. I just think that, especially with the lieutenant, that was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous.
He's somebody who serves and works for us. He serves for our country. And this is what the thanks he gets.
Because they didn't see his license plate when his license plate was there, but it was a paper license plate because he was suspicious. It was a suspicious pullover.
But how is it suspicious? Like, my thing is, if y'all ran his stuff, he's in the fucking military.
They didn't see it. That's what they're saying, because it was on a couple. It was there, but they didn't see it. But how do not seeing a license plate in?
No, I'm talking about once they saw him in his uniform and they got his ID.
Right. They knew they were in trouble.
It would have showed that. Don't they show that you were in the military on your ID or not?
Yeah, I mean, he was dressed.
He was dressed, everything. Like, he was wearing a costume. Like, it's no respect there, even from the police to the military. Y'all don't respect the military either. Like, y'all above the military. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. It's just crazy that after we talked about this, and I don't want to go into it, but you know, like a lot of people went back to sleep because, you know, Kamala, but a year later, where have we gotten?
No, another life gone.
No, right. Another life gone. Right. We're still losing. We're still being murdered. Police are still murdering us with impunity.
Yeah. Impunity.
Yeah. So anyway, I didn't want to go there either, but I mean, I'm just saying, I don't even know how to, I look at it, I'm just like, not that I'm giving up. It's just like, but for people who be think, I mean, this is still going on. So.
Still going on. And I just want to segue into another like moment to kind of shine light on like the deaths and that we're experiencing in the ballroom community. We are dropping like flies. Like every day it's another RIP, drugs, a lot of different things have taken over our community that our community is really in mourning. As someone that's been in ballroom since 2001, 20 years in ballroom, involved in ballroom, and to see the pain that our community, our Black queer community, our Black trans community, with the deaths, whether it's drug related, whether it's suicide, whether it's, you know, health related, it's just a lot of death. And I think Twiggy Garcon, it just says like the mourning that we're going through right now in the ballroom community is almost epidemic. So something is going on. I'm not into all, you know, I'm not really in the in crowd, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know everything that's going on. I know meth is a really big contributing factor to our community. And so while I believe in harm reduction, I'm not judging anyone that participates in any, you know, narcotics. Just know that you're loved and that if you're a Black, Latino, queer person listening to this podcast, your life is valued. No matter what you're doing, I don't care how much drugs you're doing, you're prostituting, whatever you do in your life still is valued. Someone is going to miss you and people do love you. And I just want to give a shout out to ballroom. I feel like I want to do a more ballroom campaign around, not necessarily with the show, but it's just something that is really getting sad. It's like every day, Emerson, and you might not be witness to it, but every day we're like losing another person in ballroom. For whatever reason. So it's just too many lives being lost. And again, we are right in a marginalized community. And here we are, like, you know, we're just dropping out like flies. So just shout out to us. Shout out to our lives being valued and our lives mattering to each other. So sending love to everybody in the ballroom. I'm not gonna go all through the names. It's been at least 5 RIPs within the last 3 days.
Oh my goodness.
So yes, just love on each other. All right. All right. So our topic today, Webathon. No, but I did. We do have to mention one thing outside on another subject. That movie, Secret Society, it gagged me. First of all, I didn't even know that was what that movie was about. I thought I was going to see a ghetto movie about like remnants of the City Girls. Didn't know that this movie was this big controversial thing that was going on in our community. Did you know that?
No.
So did you know what the gag is the movie is about? Mm-mm. They're trans women.
Oh.
So that's the secret society that they're living in.
Oh.
So the movie, I thought the movie for entertainment purposes was good. It was one of those Black, I don't know, like, I don't want to, I'm trying to think of an eardrum, Dickie. I'm trying to think of like a Black, like salacious kind of, you know, book. Back in the day, it was a book called Secret Society. And it's about these two girls that moved from Philly to Atlanta. And I'm thinking they just cis women that's, you know, scamming niggas out of their money. That's what I went to go watch. Their secret was they were actually trans women doing that. And so that was the big gag. And, you know, and it led to all of that. Then one of the, at the end, a trans woman died. But the problem was both of those women were cis women playing trans characters. And the author, the Maisha, is a straight cis woman as well. So they basically, she wrote this scandalous book about, and so all the Black community is eating it up. It's like a modern day, like DL, like, you know, remember when the Download book came out, like with all the Black people just all in because it's a story about, so, you know, this new scandalous story about how the trans women is tricking the men. And you know, they had all these, you know, Jeremy Meeks and Vivica Fox was in there. So she was the mother of one of the trans, talking about her actor. She was like, as long as you in my house, you gonna be the boy. You telling me God made a mistake? You telling me I made a mistake? You are my son. This is Vivica, really. Shout out to Vivica Fox for at least having a role. Especially that movie is, well, I mean, wait a minute. Don't act like she just be on movies left and right episode.
Well,
like,
she does. She does do her Lifetime circuit of movies and her Hallmarks.
Well, she got another, like, she got the Hood movie, because that movie has been buzzing all over. Like, I've listened while we were making doing our furniture. I listened to podcasts, and all the podcasts are talking about it. Because the issue is, you know, they tried to hire Amaya Scott as a consultant. She was, you know, because the issue was, how are y'all telling this trans story and no one is trans? Like, how are you? And the girl, I didn't even know that was the girl from Love and Hip Hop. Wasn't that Scrappy, Erica? Who, one of the girls is from Love and Hip Hop. I can't think of, you know, I never watched Love and Hip Hop to know, but one
Pretty
of the,
Erica?
I don't know which Erica, but one of the girls is from Love and, the Erica girl is from Love and Hip Hop. And so this is her breakthrough role, but y'all played trans women, but y'all are cis women. And so that's just a big scandal. A lot of trans women are like, you know, they told this stereotypical story. It's like white people tell, you know, I feel like trauma porn, how they saying like all this trauma porn for Black people. Black people doing it with, you know, like you do this movie, the trans woman die at the end, like this narrative that trans women is always tricking men. You know, you're perpetuating that ideal that's what trans women do, trick men about being trans and stuff like that. But it was juicy. As someone who didn't even know, I didn't even know, it was juicy. But that's the big scandal, Secret Society. I'm not recommending it, but if you're looking for some juice, check it out. So
I think that don't make no damn sense that they came out with a movie like that. It's all the type of topics of movies that they could have came out with. Like I've been talking about lately, like our ghetto movies. Like you said, the movie you thought you was gonna see. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why y'all? There's so much, like, I feel like else they could be talking about, and let that topic be the topic of the trans community. Let them do something like that. I mean, you do have the Maya Scotts, you do have Laverne Cox, you do have the Janet, forget our last name, but Janet.
Mock.
Forget our last name. Start with M, I think.
Mock,
yeah. You have these girls or women that could probably come together and do their own story. Like, why do you feel like the need that you have to tell that story? Like, what benefit does it do for you to tell that story?
Scandalous.
But they can have their own scandals. They don't need the trans community for scandal. There's enough scandal in the heterosexual cisgender community. There was bitches that went down to the All-Star Weekend that slept in a fucking U-Haul. That's scandal. Like, you don't need... y'all doing your own shit. You got bitches, they got pulled over, they got an accident, and they would, you know what I'm saying? Then they tried to scam people with a damn fucking GoFundMe.
GoFundMe.
So that's scandal. This is shit bitches is doing all the time. And y'all, we're going to tell a story from the train. They tried. I mean, but like you said, I mean, if it's juicy, whatever, I just think I didn't know that either. And now I'm kind of bothered by that because I'm like, why? Yeah, y'all act like y'all lives are just so perfect that y'all don't have no stories. Bitch, please.
Right, bitch, y'all scandalous enough. Right. You the trans narrative about how you scamming and tricking niggas. You could tell your own story. The City Girls biography is good enough for me. That's what I thought I was watching. So I agree with you, right? Like, you know, the idea that, you know, they're trying to tell this scandalous story as if that's the only scandal story to say about niggas being tricked. Okay, and they did all the stereotypes. Like, all the stereotypes you think could be done, it could, they put in that movie. And so I see, you know, it just furthers that divide, you know, with the trans community and the cis community, because they felt the need, you know, and especially this movie getting so much attention. Again, it came across my desk. And like they said, the movie is not promoted that it's a trans narrative. I did not know that it was a trans movie at all. It had anything to do with trans people. And that's the secret society, as if they're, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was very rude. It was very rude and disrespectful. But, you know, Black folks, you know, like you said, they think, they got other scandals. There's a bunch of cis scandals. Like you said, that girl with the, you know, the scammers. That's right. What I thought they were saying. Like, why did it even have to be a trans narrative like you said?
It didn't have to be. It didn't have to be. Like, y'all got it right in y'all backyard. Y'all act like it don't exist. Girl, please. Like, and I'm pretty sure I can think of some other shit that I didn't heard. I just don't remember off the top of my head. But I hear shit like that all the time. Like, girls, stop it. But, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, Secret Society. I agree with Emma. I think you really made some good points with that one. And some good conversations. And I think the conversations just need to be happening between trans and cis women. Because, you know, I think that movie has definitely shook up some feathers. And so they need to sit down and have that conversation for sure. And that just leads into our topic, things you shouldn't do. Things that the gays should avoid in their 20s. And I would say, starting off, bitch, girl, don't get a bunch of shit on your record. Mm. You know, that, I mean, to be honest, like the scamming, like we grew up with a bunch of girls, Evanson, that had a long rap sheet for petty thief, for fraud, for credit card, like all of this stuff. And my thing is, you know, we're in the age of fast money. Everybody wants to live fabulous lives. And it's gotten worse because with social media, like we didn't come up in social media.
Yeah, no.
Can you imagine what it is now? Like the girls trying to be like the Claremont twins, the girls trying to be like the City Girls. And those are cis people, but I'm just like, even exposure to like the gay life, like all these guys, like all the queer guys that we see that on tour. And again, I'm not judging sex work. Everybody get it how you get it. Cause bitch, if I ever come across, if my man let me have a sugar daddy on the side, bitch, we set for life. He got to at least be a bit millionaire. Like I ain't got time for no thousandaire, right? Like you gotta take care of me and my man stacks. So, but I'm not judging, is what I'm saying. Like I'll be right in line with my sugar daddy. But I feel like a lot of these girls get into that craft so young and not knowing that, girl, you might be tired of that by the time you're 30. You might be tired of that around you're 40, but then you're gonna get all that stuff on your record. That don't go away, honey. When you go to jail for, I don't care if it's 6 months, you do a stint for 6 months, you got a record. Like, girl, I know you wanted that outfit for the ball. I know you was scamming your rent. And I know you're trying to survive. A lot of that stuff is out of survival. So I understand that. But you have to understand the repercussions of fast money. And I feel like a lot, the younger age, fast money has gotten, it was bad when we were growing up. Like, and I ain't never, I was like, well, girl, I'm not you. I don't have money like that. You know, I don't have Bentleys and a Benzes. I don't have a high rise in Atlanta. I don't, you know, I'm a manager. You know, I'm in school. You know, like, you can have that life. It's even worse now. Fast money. What do you think about this fast money for 20-year-olds?
Oh, please. I think this is even beyond just the gay girls. I think this is overall, all around, because, you know, all I follow is entrepreneurs. So a lot of people feel like entrepreneurship is scamming. They're scamming. You're lying. I'm not going to make this kind of money. And I'm not saying everybody is. There's some fucked up people out here. You do have to vet people. But I think a lot of times you do, but it does take work to be able to get to a certain point. You know what I'm saying? It's going to take some time. You're going to have some downtime before you, when you do anything. But, you know, my point is, they come and they see these entrepreneurs and stuff like that, but, you know, showing they Lamborghinis and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, okay, well, what I got to do to get that, like, next week?
Right now.
And they be like, well, they're like, well, or don't let you be on the live. How soon am I going to start, like, making a lot of money? They be like, I can't tell you how soon. It depends on you. What you going to be doing? What work are you going to put in? I can't tell you going to be a millionaire next week. And then you be like, oh, okay. And then you sign up for something. They think, oh, okay, what's the investment? $10? Like, no. Like, I think fast money is, everybody wants that delayed gratification. A lot of people, especially, have an issue with that. So I agree with you 1,000%. I just say, and I was going to say something kind of similar to that, kind of. I just say, do the work do the work and sit. You might just have to sit some stuff out or might not look a certain way at a young age, but do the work then. Because I think for me, my 20s, I wasn't doing none of that. Nah, I was getting pulled over and shit, but not, it was for tick driving shit. It was never, I never got, you know, nothing found in my car, nothing like that. But but anyway, but it was
that. You had no blunts in your car?
No, I didn't have no blunts in my car. And it was with somebody who was active doing that. And never. So, you know, I was kind of blessed with that, but still got pulled over and all that. So I dealt with all that bullshit. But my whole point of what I'm trying to say is, I feel like in my 20s, I spent a lot of, like you said, survival. I think I spent a lot of time trying to just survive. That my 20s kind of, I didn't live the 20s that I probably could have had. I just maybe focused for a little point, you know, focus for a little while, put my head down and try to get some type of a skill or do something that I can just make sure I got money coming in. No shade, like, we knew somebody who was a truck driver, not saying I would have did that, but did something maybe where I just had money coming in where I can just take care of myself. So I could have not spent in my 20s trying to grind, because I can see why they did go that way. Because if you go the right idea and you just trying to work and trying to live off of the wages that I was getting paid, it's like, it's rough, it's hard. But if you just sit and go get a skill or something like that, go get you some type of trade and just, you know, go to Everest. I don't know if they still I don't know if they still open, but do it. Just take your time. Go to Everest for a couple of years, however long you're supposed to go. Get you some type of trade to make you some decent money. So then, and then you think about your next level of how you're gonna get, you know, just, it's the long way, but when you look at all the people, like you said, they got all these records, they're not working. They probably still trying to scam, or they might, you know, who knows where some of the people is at that was doing that, you know, the well has run dry. Mm-hmm. Why would you want that? And or something else that we'll probably talk about too, or, you know, if they're even still here. So I would definitely agree with you on that. Don't do that, because I had a friend who got caught up with that at Kmart, but he was kind of coerced into it. Like, you know, they found out he worked at Kmart and they like, oh, well, you know, why don't you start, you know, skip the scanner? We're going to come in there. We're going to, you know, why don't you help us skip the scammer? And he ended up getting found out and ended up getting arrested and had to pay all that money back. It ain't worth it.
It ain't worth it. And the fast money is not, I mean, I feel like we're in an age where, like you were saying, we are exposed to how people make money a little bit.
Yeah.
And people thinking, because we see it, that it happened overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Social media, for some people it do, right? Like but even those overnighters are usually people who have been grinding in some kind of way. And or maybe not. Like, I think about where the money reside, like that man, like he was literally an overnighter, but he was also a hustler and selling cars, right? Like, that was not his first video.
Yeah, no.
He's been selling cars. Like he said, I was the top seller at my place. You know what I'm saying? So now you see him.
And he
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and one thing I love about him, one thing why I represent him is because he was smart. He mm-hmm. already had where the money was already trademarked. He already had merch. He was ready he didn't have a Teyana Taylor situation. When he blew up, he was already positioned. Like, mm-hmm. I got my shirts. Can't no Anglo person go and try to use it. You can't use it. If you're going to use it, pay me. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's why I respect him. I'm like, oh, he was ready. He was putting himself in position for when he did blow up. It wasn't just, he wasn't doing anything or he was like Teyana Taylor and just, oh, I want to blow up and everything like that. And then when you finally blow up, you ain't got nothing there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, go ahead.
No, you're right. Right. He was already a businessman. He mm-hmm. already had that mentality. He had already been the best seller of cars.
Yeah.
He was already doing those videos. That wasn't new.
Yeah.
So like you said, he took that same mentality to a viral sensation.
Yeah.
And used that. Like you said, he got a trademark. I saw him on the video. He was like, oh, when a white man had did their version of it, he was like, oh, hell no. We're going to figure out where that money coming from. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't do that. And you know what I'm saying? But so that's an example of someone like Black and queer who really worked, and maybe the viral sensation came overnight, but they were someone about the business,
yeah.
and they were someone that kind of prepared themselves for that mindset. And then, like you said, they showed up when the opportunity came about. And I feel like that's the real reality with an overnight sensation. Now, it does happen, but a meme is that you got to have that mentality, right? Like, a meme does not equate dollars. Like, a number one trending topic does not put money in your pocket if you're not ready to follow up, like, where the money resides. You know, he was getting booked gigs. He's doing probably commercials, you know what I'm saying? Car commercials all over. And he's still working selling cars. But I bet you he's selling a lot more cars and a lot more stuff than he was.
Okay.
I bet you he's been able to get that coin. So I think fast money, and I see it all the time because... And I don't even want to just equate it to like the sex working industry, because that's what we always try to judge nowadays, because that's what we, you know, OnlyFans and all of this is so popular. But again, you know, back in our day, it was the money scam, you know, it was the scam, like the fraud checks. And it was not even about the sex. They existed, but that was the main thing. And I feel like just fast money. Make money, invest money, and come up with a plan. Don't be so in your 20s, don't do stuff for fast money that you will regret later. And that is just very important, because it's not worth it. Because you could have $50,000 at 21 and be in jail at 31, or with a record at 31. Mm-hmm. Looking for your next, you know.
Yeah.
You got to just think about that. So just think about fast money. I tell that all the time, because like even with like my son Malik, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a college student, he's a junior. And you know, he'd be like, well, I want this, and you know, and I'm like, well, you're in college, you're making films, you have a whole film, a documentary that you can take with you to further your career, right? Like, you got grad school, you're building yourself up. You know what I'm saying? Like, what does it matter to have, what does it matter to live in a student apartment at 20 years old? Why do you need to live in a penthouse?
Right.
To say you got a penthouse at 20 to keep up with the girl that's got a, how do you think they're getting this penthouse? You're 20. How do you think you're going to get a penthouse at 20?
Right.
So what you got next? What's the next on your list?
I would probably say, well, that was a good one. I don't think I have a lot. I just think that was definitely a good one. Don't be about fast money. So everything Mr. Telltale just said, I second that. Because just do the work. Because I'll just say, when you don't, you end up like, and I'm not saying I didn't do, I had entry level positions and I didn't do none of that other stuff, But I'm just saying, put your head down. And again, put your head down in your 20s and just do the work. So then by the time you are 30, you are in a different position where you can actually live life and live a life where you ain't got to worry about how much money is your bank account. You ain't got to, you know what I'm saying? You can go on vacation and do things and live life and don't have to be worried about where your next check is coming from. That's life to me. But what I would say, I think one thing I would probably say about 20s is don't treat, you can love somebody, but don't treat it. And we talked about this when we were young, and I talked about this before. I'm gonna say it again though. Don't treat your relationships if you were 20 like you were married. Y'all are just dating. You know, there is gonna be so many. You have to think abundantly when it comes to men. Don't think that's the only man that's gonna ever come a roll across your desk, and you just keep on trying to stick it out with this person for 10 some years, and you know, like ain't no other niggas gonna come through. Don't do that. Like, my thing is, if you need to, and I've said this before, you fire fast and you hire slow. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? So, when you get a man and he ain't working out in your 20s, you know, you can like him or whatever, and you might even want to fuck him a couple of more times. Mm-hmm. But if you see that it's you see it like, this is not something that's going to be sustained. This, I'm not going to be able to sustain this relationship with anything. There's nothing substantial in the relationship that I can build upon. So get what you get, have fun with it. And then if you move on, move on. But don't relish on it. Don't act like it's the end of the world. And don't spend too much time, because you lose. You could, that's time, you don't never get that back. And then you look back and you're like, what the fuck did I do in my 20s? I was going back and forth with some nigga that I was married, like I was married to him and I wasn't. And I was going through all this stressful shit in my 20s. Like I was fucking, you know, like not saying there's anything wrong being 40, but I'm just saying like I was somebody in my 40s dealing with somebody I was fucking with him for 30 years. I've only been knowing this nigga for what, maybe 5-6 some years. And I'm acting like my life is over. Like, don't do that. Fire fast and have fun in your 20s, and don't let these societal norms get you. If you don't, if you're not, and the gay world is a little different, but with the internet couple, Instagram couple situations, that changes things a little bit. Don't rush to get in a situation like that just so you can have a pretty picture to put on Instagram. Know that this is my nigga. Like, you know, this is my nigga. Like, this is it. You can feel that way, and you know, you still might end up not being with that person in the long run. I'm not saying it's going to always be perfect, but don't do it just for a look. And you're trying to force it just because you feel like you need to have your Instagram pictures go up before you're 30 and you need to start having kids. Girl, if he ain't the one, he ain't the one. And move on and push on, be gone, let him do his thing. And you go out and mingle and meet you some other people and live life as somebody in your 20s. You're not supposed to have everything figured out in your 20s.
My response to that is, don't be playing house at 20.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that. I did that so many times. At least I was a serial playhouser. I would move to the next playhouse. And that consumed a lot of my 20s. First of all, so yes, this is a really good one, because I have a lot of advice with that. Because you put yourself in positions when you play house to make you become an adult that you're not even ready to become. You ain't even got to deal with the stress of taking care of the household. You shouldn't have to.
No.
You shouldn't have to. First of all, ain't nothing wrong with fucking around in your 20s. Protect yourself. And if you're queer, you know, get on PrEP, do whatever you got to do. Stay healthy. But, and you know, and body counseling, that's all up to individual.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with dating, and there's nothing wrong with being in relationships, in 20-year-old relationships. Like, you, I do me, I live where I live, you live where I live. We do not need to be signing leases. We do not need to be living together, because it ain't gonna work. I don't know, especially in the gay world, and just it is what it is. Y'all can call me, you know, stereotyping or generalizing. I don't know too many 20-year-old relationships between 20-year-olds. Now I know a lot of, oh, that's a good topic, you know, a lot of getting with these old men, but I know a lot of that, but it ain't too many 20-year-olds in the Black gay community that was dating, that moved, that rushed their situation playing house so early and they lasted in their relationship. I do know some that, you know, went to school together, that came up together, that eventually started dating. They were friends. They probably was fucking on each other at one point, you know. But like you said, with this whole, and I'm a part of that because people tell me, you know, they be sending pictures of my engagement or Miami, yo, y'all relationship goals. I get that all the time. I'm older now, right? Thank you for that. Like, I put in a lot of time, fucked on a lot of no good niggas. And I think I deserve to be relationship goals after some of the bullshit that I've been through and some of the niggas that I had to deal with to get me to this point. But I feel like if I didn't have that mindset, because I always knew that I wanted the white picket fence, I was always the relationship type, but I would try to make that happen at 19. Try to make that happen at 21. You know what I said? And like, you know, get together, building a home together, you know, like all this bullshit that left me in a lot of bad situations, a lot of broken leases, a lot of situations that, because, you know, I am the type of nigga that would leave. So I have that get over it, but I shouldn't have even got in it. I shouldn't have even been living with these niggas, getting animals with these niggas in the household with five damn, all these goddamn animals and doing all this goddamn shit that I didn't sign up for. Because I was still trying to find myself. I didn't know what that was like, but I never gave myself license to date.
Yeah.
So I think dating is important. You could date somebody and fuck on somebody for a year. That's okay. That could be the nigga you like and share pictures with, go out of town with. Y'all ain't got to get no apartment together.
No.
Don't move in with that nigga. I would say maybe your late 20s. I would say maybe 25 and up. That's a possibility. But if you younger than 25, don't be moving in with no nigga.
No.
I just don't. Why? Because it's going to put you in positions that, because a lot of times it's going to be a codependency when you're that young.
Yep.
That one of y'all can't maintain by yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's always going to be an unequal relationship, that when two people come together and y'all can't live separately, you know what I'm saying? So that means y'all dependent on each other. So when it don't go right, that means it's going to affect somebody differently than it affect the other person. Mm-hmm. But emotionally, it's going to affect both of y'all. So yeah, yes, keep it cute. Date. And don't
let somebody, you talking about older dudes. Now, it's nothing wrong. I wanted an older man when I was younger. Never happened. But I wanted one. But my thing is, you know, sometimes these older men, because they at a certain space in their life, they're in a life where they've already they've been through their whole phase. They didn't fuck everything walking already. Now they ready to settle down. And they were like, I want somebody younger. And they try to take that experience away from you. Don't let them do that. Because then, you know, because I found a lot of people who've been in situations like that. I'm like, oh, y'all was together for over 20 years. Oh, we're not together anymore. I was with him since I was 20 years old. Yeah, so he took all that from you. So now you up here trying to catch up and fuck and suck on everybody, and you damn near 40. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to age any, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, though, but it's like, I mean, but you should have been, the situation he put you in at 20 is kind of maybe would be more comfortable for you now, because now you don't know how to deal with these young guys and da-da-da. It's like, yeah, it's
because you never was a young guy. You never dealt with the young guys.
Yep.
You was always fucking on them old niggas. And so now you don't even know what it is to be with somebody your own age. No. Like I'm so mature. Are you?
Right.
Are you codependent or dependent on that, you know, someone to be older than you, someone to guide you?
Yeah. And that security that you had. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you had with that older person, they made, you know, well, we normally did this. And, you know, he had his own house and stuff. But, well, girl, you might be dealing with somebody in their 30s who is, you know, he don't have his own house yet. He in a condo. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't got a house yet. He ain't got no backyard. He ain't got no pets, because he's working on something where he's building something right now. And he's, you know, he ain't ready to commit something like that. Well, I don't know. That's not stability to me. Bitch, he 35.
Right. Right.
Like, girl.
Everything in life by now. It doesn't right. work like that. And again, it can work for some people it if can. It's off that way, right? We're not saying that some people can't get it how they get it. Like, yeah. that's not a judgment to anyone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't think about Dwayne, friend back in mm-hmm. Detroit, that's in Austin, I mean, Atlanta, and the amazing things that he's done. But he has been a homeowner, a business owner since we was in college. You know, he's been selling houses, buying houses, blah, blah. He came in with a vision. Yeah. And that's something we're going to talk about in a minute. But he had a vision of what he wanted to do. So at 25, yeah, if you come across Dwayne, oh, bitch, that might be husband material.
It might be.
Already, you know, he had a vision, you know, but, and that's okay. That does come around. But don't expect that. That's not an expectation for somebody in their 20s.
Yeah.
They're not there to take care of you. No one is there to be your sugar daddy. No one is there to hold your hand. You know, you should be looking for equal partnership, you know. And I'm not saying, again, every situation is different, but that mentality, like you're rushing into, you know, the white picket fence at 21, mm-hmm. girl, but you don't even have a driver's license. Or you never even owned a car, but you want him to pick you up. But you want to move in with him. What's that gonna look like? Like, what did like you gonna live? So say you live within the next 9 years, and you never took care of all the shit you needed to have in place to be independent. You break up, kind of what you were just saying at 31. You know, your development has been stagnant. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. and that's important. Your 20s is meant to make mistakes.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
And I think leading to my next one is travel. I think the 20s, you got the travel. Because it's like before you get a house, before you get that corporate job, before you fuck on that nigga that you put a ring on it, bitch, travel. Travel before traveling becomes a burden. Travel before you have to schedule. Oh, I'm gonna travel in July. And I got some plan. You know how you get older. You got to kind of plan out to travel. Mm-hmm. You got commitments.
Yeah.
You got things that you can't just, you know, unless you travel for business, that's something different. But, you know, as you get older, traveling becomes more of a task.
Yeah.
And I just tell a lot of young people, especially 20s and even in college, and I don't care from 18 on, travel. If you can find ways to make money, if you get a G, take that G and go somewhere. That's going to have a lasting impact on you than, I don't know, trying to pay a down payment on a Benz that you can't even afford to pay on a monthly payment for.
Or buying a Gucci belt.
Buying a Gucci belt. Go to Thailand. Go to Japan. Go to Africa. Go to England. Go, you know, that was one of the things that I wish I would have done more. I travel a lot of in-state, right? Like I've traveled a lot in the country. I have not traveled a lot internationally. And I feel like that was always a goal of mine. Like, I mean, that my degree is international studies. That, you know, I had to take all these language courses just to justify me not even traveling, because that was a part of my program to study abroad. But instead of studying abroad, I took 8 semesters of foreign language to justify to get my degree. But I felt like because of the relationships, because of the jobs that I took on that made me, you know, like management, like when you're running stuff, you can't just, you know, your schedule is based on the, how many hours you got to be free.
Oh, please, not even management. If you're an entry level bitch like I was, you got to get use that PTO, and it ain't never enough for you to be able to go anywhere. Shit, you can barely get a weekend off.
Yeah, but at least those kind of jobs, though, if you didn't care, you could quit or you got fired. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you could move around. Like, it ain't going to affect you.
That's
right?
True.
Like, it wasn't on your resume. You know, like, girl, if you didn't stay there six months, you ain't supposed to put it on your resume.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? But travel. I think traveling in your 20s is very important. Seeing the world. before you're settling down, before you have all that responsibility, before you have bills. If you fucking stay in student housing, you getting scholarships, you working at the Whataburger, and you ain't got no bill, your parents is paying your bills, bitch, you need to be across the pond. You really do. Like, I think it gets old. Like, unless, I feel like the next moment for traveling after your 20s is retirement, where it's just free for all, where you can just travel at your leisure.
I think it depends.
You can, and I'm not saying for business, I'm not saying for fun. Like, if you have the coin, I mean, like, life can bring it, but I feel like in your 20s, before you get into your career, you have a lot more wiggle room to kind of go at without that responsibility. If you have the coins to do it, it will always, like, why not?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I agree with you. I agree with you for the most part. I agree, definitely need to travel, because listen to your auntie, because your auntie didn't travel. She was too busy working entry-level jobs in her 20s. So I didn't travel hardly anywhere. But, you know, now I'm all about that rich auntie lifestyle. So that's what I'm working for now. So I'm going to be, you know, up in dynasties traveling, but not, I ain't waiting till 60, 70 for sure. But I'm just saying, that's not... But people, like, you say responsibilities. I don't, you know, all I have is plants. I'm not, that's probably the most, the only living thing I'll ever have. But, you know, once you start getting pets and dogs, y'all might start adopting kids. You might start having, you might end up having the responsibility of a parent as you get older. So it can be different things, a different way life can, you know, happen. Things in life can happen that can hinder maybe you being able to have that, you know, jet set like type of lifestyle. So I agree with you. Just to culture yourself too, just to know something else outside of what's right in front of you. Cause even though I don't travel that much, I do know I need to. And I watch stuff on YouTube all the time about traveling and stuff. So I know locations. I vicariously travel with other people. But I think certain people, like even from where I grew up with, it's like they go to what's in Michigan, Grand Rapids or something, and they act like they went to Italy, and I'm like, girl, Grand Rapids.
Like, going to Vegas, girl, they
right,
like, okay, girl,
right, it's Grand Rapids, it's Kalamazoo, it's, you know, it's not, you know, it's
Battle Creek,
right, it's Battle Creek, like, you know, no shade, but you know, they're like, it's just so nice, I ain't never seen that, like, but that comes from them, and I know that sometimes it's generational too, because your parents might have been somebody who they didn't travel, you know, that might not have been a thing, but it, which, you know, could kind of was my thing too. My mom wasn't like a traveler like that, but to culture yourself so you won't go to someplace. No, that's not it. There's more than just, you know, some Grand Rapids. See, there's a lot more world out here to see. So the culture, I feel like, especially if you're about to have kids, if you want to have kids, I think you need to culture yourself before you have bring some babies in this world. Be able to tell your baby something about the world, not just what's around the corner. But that's it.
Yeah. I agree. And I'm going to clarify, like, it's not that, that's what I meant, the responsibility when it comes to retirement. That not you can't travel in your 30s and 40s. Because again, if you don't have those responsibilities, you're good. But like you said, all those, usually in your 30s, you're buying a house.
Yeah.
You're stuck on your career. Like, bitch, you're making it happen, right? You got no choice. You got this mortgage. You got these kids. You got this husband. You know, like you said, you could even have in-laws, or you can have your own parents that you're taking care of. So, but when you're in your 20s, a lot of that stuff doesn't really exist for you, right? Like, that's your time to do it at your own pace and do you. So I agree. Be cultured. Be cultured.
Yeah, be cultured.
What you got?
I guess my next one would be, and this is something that you do in your 20s, but I think, and I'm not trying to make your 20s be serious, but if you do all those things, actually, if you do all the things that we've talked about, you'll get to know yourself, really get to know who you are in your 20s. I'm not saying get serious and all that kind of, I'm just saying really take time out to get to know you as a person, to know who, what you really are. That's why it's okay to date a whole bunch of people, because you're figuring out what I really want. But be honest with yourself. Don't get caught up following and chasing all these waterfalls and trying to be like this or trying to be like Mike and trying to be all these different people or letting people mold you into something that you really are not. Because I find so many people, and this is something you figure out in your 20s, but I'm saying maybe you can skip the part where you have to, like, I follow a lot of people who are doctors, lawyers, who are now influencers. But these are full ass doctors, lawyers. I follow a lawyer. She's like, you know, I did the whole thing, lawyer, got the bar and hated every last minute of it. She was like, the internet was a blessing in disguise for me. Cause she was like, I just never knew that this would be my way out from that life that I hated. But she did that, you know, because of, you know, what her parents and stuff told her. But my thing is, if you just really be honest with yourself, and I'm not saying don't listen to your parents, but if you do have something in you that's like haunting you that you want to do, and that I say, you know, don't be afraid to explore that in your 20s, because what's going to happen is you end up doing it. You're going to do whatever it is that you hate until you get to a point where you get older, you're going to go through Saturn's return or whatever. And then you're going to come and Saturn's return, you might realize that you hate you hate what you're doing with your life, and you hate your life. Or you'll get older, almost 40, and then that's when you'll start trying to, and it's not too late to do anything then, trust me. It's not too late to start anything then. But if you can start, think about it, if you start the things that you really want to do, or, you know, you start, you know, moving, start being the person that you really want to be, or at least moving in that direction at an earlier age where you can be when you're at my dynasty. You know what I'm saying? You could be, you know, so far, so much more far ahead. So I don't know if that makes sense, but I just say stay true to who you are and don't let, you know, too many different things, because especially in the gay life can make you do different stuff that you might not even want to do. You're just trying to follow everybody else, mm-hmm. like the scamming, like the, you know what I'm saying, you're doing all these different things. That's, you might really want to be, I don't know, you might want to play a guitar, I don't know, but you got, you know, you got all this other stuff with all this scamming and dealing with these niggas and all this kind of stuff is all taking you away from there. So that's why sometimes you have to kind of come back to yourself. I'm like, okay, but what is it that I really want to do? Even if it's only for 5 minutes, you want to be a country singer for 5 minutes. Well, at least explore that instead of dealing with these niggas and doing all this scamming and doing all this other bullshit that's not doing anything to help elevate you. Or it's not, or do anything that's going to help you when you are, you know, 10 years, 20 years down the line. It's not going to push you anywhere for it. If anything, you're going to stay at the same level or lower than where you are dealing with that same shit. So hopefully that made sense. But that's what I was saying.
No, I mean, I totally agree. Like, it is the 20s is time to explore. Mm. Do the things that make you happy. Do the things. You might even have a mindset on a career. Right, because that's what you went to school for. You have to understand these are institutions. The society is an institution that kind of guide us to these things that we feel like is lucrative, or we feel like will get us out the hood, especially talking about like marginalized communities. Like, yeah. Oh, I want to be, you know, a medical doctor because that's gonna, like, you know, that's gonna give me some money. But is that true? Do you really want to be a medical doctor? And would that really get you some money? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's be clear about what is it that you really want. And I feel like that's a lot of what our 20s is, like you were saying, figuring out what it is that we really want to do. And the only way you really know that is to explore.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It is to pick up different things. You know what I'm saying? Go different places. Have these different ideas. You know what I'm saying? You could start a business. You could be a whole ass, I don't know, engineer, you know? But then you're like, well, hey, you know, I like designing socks. And you decide, you know, in the middle of that, like, you in school to be an engineer. So you have nothing to lose, that I really like designing socks. I think that is my thing. Like, you know, that's what I like to do. And you do it, you never know what that might lead. You might be a sock designer with an engineering degree and not ever engineer anything but the socks that you create and be a multimillionaire. Instead of working at, I don't know, Boeing, making $75,000 a year, not living the life that you necessarily wanted to live. And again, $75,000 a year is a good life. But I'm just saying that really think about what it is that you really want. And if you don't know what you really want, explore the different things. You know what I'm saying? Like, life is so short for us to be complacent and doing things that we don't want in your 20s, because as life goes older, it goes back to what I was saying about the traveling. You don't have that flexibility. When you sign your name on that mortgage, or you signing your name on that car note, when you're doing all these things, you having that baby, or she having that baby, and you a baby daddy, things change. Like, you can't, you're not, your freedom is, it can't be taken from you.
Mm, very true.
You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like, you know, a lot of times in your 20s, you really do need to explore the things that make you happy, of try to figure out who you really are. You know, do you like your hair like this? Do you like dreads? Do you like your hair straight? Do you like natural hair? Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, not necessarily the fads, but try some of the fads out. Some of them might be yours. You just didn't know. You might have saw Angie Stone with the blowout, you know, and, you know, I wish I didn't miss you. You like, well, bitch, that's my hair. And basically, that could be your hair that take you to the next job that you went to that you really wanted, because they liked your hair. You know, they liked your confidence. So I think it's really important to build upon yourself in your 20s and really love on yourself and take yourself seriously for fun. When I say seriously, but take yourself seriously in fun. So that means if it's something you want to do for fun, do that.
Yeah, do it.
Like, it's nothing, you know, the sky is the limit. And I feel like a lot of times society doesn't give us the license to explore. We are so often, like, kind of, like, pounded with limitations. You know, our surroundings has limited, you know, put limitations on of our environments, our neighborhoods, our family. You know, people telling us, you can't do this, you can't do that, you won't be that, you won't be this. That ain't right, that ain't this. I feel like you have to kind of fight through the white noise and really just, you know, yeah, love on yourself in that way. But like you said, I really, really think you should, like you said, take this time to get to know you.
And don't be afraid to let people see you fail forward. Now, that's something I'm kind of even talking to myself on that one, because I don't even deal with a lot of people like that. Like, you know, my communication sucks.com with people when I'm focused on stuff. But at the same time, I think sometimes I still do be thinking about, but if this doesn't work, like, somebody's gonna see that I failed. Mm-hmm. But that's okay, because I'm trying something different. I'm actually doing something outside of the norm that other people wouldn't have the courage to do. So don't be afraid to let people see you fail forward. And if you do change stuff, you doing one thing one minute, you doing something else the next minute, especially in your 20s. Well, I'm not doing that anymore. Well, you're figuring shit out. So if somebody said, well, you need to get your life together. I'm figuring shit out. I'm not settling for a life of mediocrity. I'm figuring out what's going to truly make me happy in my life. And that's what's going to make my life feel fulfilled and purposeful. And you might fail a couple of times figuring that out. And in your 20s, it's definitely acceptable. I think it's acceptable at any age, but if you get in your mindset in your 20s that, hey, I might fail forward a couple of times. I might do some shit. It might not work, but at least I'm trying. And then it's what Master P say, it's not a loss, or you didn't lose. It's a lesson. So
I was about to say, every failure is a lesson.
Yeah.
You actually, like, to fail the test, you had to not take, you know, the test was still there, right? You had to either, you failed it. It's an action. You learn from that. The test was in front of you, so you knew the questions. And so, you know, and if you didn't ever take it, you wouldn't have even known it. And so that's a good one. And I don't know if I have really processed that one, like failure being an option. And failure should always be an option. Failure is inevitable. It's inevitable. There is no, like, success rate, you know, flawless success rate. Because first of all, how do you learn?
Yeah,
everything, how do you learn? Come to you, and you don't have to pivot. You don't have to go, you know, or like, then you just go down that same road is it possible for you to really learn and all of that? So yeah, but that's still the idea of it, like just to flat out say that like failure is, you know how people say failure is not an option. That's not really true.
No, it's not true.
It's always an option because you can never always wing it. It's impossible. The greatest of the greatest of the greatest has failed at something. We might not ever know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just think about sports and you just think about politics and you think about education, you think about all of those things. The persons in the highest places making the most money are people that probably did not excel in school.
Oh, please.
And like education, you know, that, you know, but people in education that excel really well probably can't, probably have five failed businesses with, you know, PhD in business. They just, it can happen. So yeah, that's a good one, but that's a hard pill to swallow. And so I just like that you said that, because that hit me about being able to fail. My next one's gonna be a little corny and straight to the point, but avoid debt as much as possible. Avoid debt. And what I mean, I sincerely mean that. And I know that goes into credit and all of that, but I don't even care if you even built credit, because you can always build credit. It's great to build it, you know, the earliest than possible, but it's even better to avoid debt, because that's what always get us. It's never, you know, in most situations in the Black community, it's not that we've got bad credit, we just got bad debt. We don't pay our bills. We let the bills go. You know what I'm saying? It could be zero credit, but you ain't paid three credit cards, or you know what I'm saying? Or you let that card note go. And a lot of times, and trust me, any financial debt that you have in your 20s will resurface in your 30s. It don't go away.
Especially if you're trying to like really do stuff, and like if you're going to do something or you really are trying, like you are trying to get a house and stuff, like you're going to have that conversation again. Some stuff you can just, it eventually, 7 years, it'll fall off and you might not hear about it again. But then your credit score can still be fucked up. And, you know, but if you, I don't know, some people don't do anything where they might need to use their credit, but I find it hard to believe. I mean, but you need credit. I mean,
I'd be rich.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can buy stuff, Cam. You could buy hoopty $2,000 with your income tax check or your STEMI check and don't have to worry about paying a car note. You could do stuff like that. And, you know, apartment, you might be able to get an apartment, or, you know, as long as you ain't got no evictions. But if you got evictions and stuff on there and then you haven't paid those debts, so it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I didn't cut you off. I mean, because that was going to be my next one, but it's going
to be. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that one.
Mine was going
to be. I even have another one after this one. That's,
oh, yeah, I'm down. I think I didn't have that many, but this is my last one. And it's very aligned with what you're saying, but mine is learn about money, financial literacy, learn money. Don't let nobody talk to you. You know, I know in our community especially, you know, because money is all these horrible things. And maybe even if it is, if you feel like it is, learn about it. So you'll know how not to be evil, but learn about it. Because if we learn, I think that's where a lot of debt comes from too. We don't know about money. We don't know how to make our money work for us. We don't know where we should be putting our money at and where we shouldn't be putting our money at. We don't know, you know what I'm saying, the benefits of doing this with your money as opposed to doing that with your money, you know, putting your money in a stock as opposed to put, or an index fund as opposed to putting your money into a savings account. Because that's a lot of, you know, get you a savings. Your money is not going to grow as fast in a savings account as it would if you put it in an index fund. You know what I'm saying? Or if you did not have a car note, if you did buy a hoopty and you took the same amount of money you was going to pay for that Benz and put it into an index fund, and then 10, 20 years down the line, you're a millionaire. People don't tell you stuff like that. People don't tell you how to use your life insurance. I didn't know this one. I found this one out the other day. Anglo people I knew about this a little bit, but I didn't know this is how Anglo people really be flossing their money. They use life insurance policies. They use their life insurance as a bank. So they pretty much essentially when they be kids be getting married and stuff like that, and they be paying for these $100,000 month bills for their kids, that'd be their life insurance money. They be having, they be telling people, oh, give me 3 days. They need that 3 days to get the money approved to get from their life insurance policy so they can write a $100,000 check. And they just borrowing essentially money from their life insurance policy and use that money as, you know, to do shit. But they don't, a lot of Black people don't know about that. And the girl that was talking about this, she's a major, I forget what her major was, but it's something in finance. But anyway, she was saying that, you know, she worked as an event planner. She said Black people will always have to have, you know, Auntie Keisha, your grandpa, your grandma, your grandma's grandma. You have to have all these people put all this money in to help with like weddings and stuff like that. And she was like, you know, so white people don't have to do that. And she was like, well, how is it that they don't, they just, you know, a couple that's like, okay, yeah, we'll cover it. Sometimes I'll
be check. Rich. Huh? All white people are not rich.
No, they're not rich. No, they're clearly not. Right. She was like, she wants to know, she was like, well, how are they writing these $100,000 checks? They use life insurance policies. But they don't, we don't, they're not taught stuff like that. So if don't let people talk you out of learning about money or learn about it. Even if you feel like it's something Black people don't have, you feel like Black people will be poor forever, learn about it. Just learn about money and just learn how you could learn the different things of how people make money work for them. So at least you'll know. So then you can avoid debt. Even if you don't get involved in any of that stuff, or you won't be, you know, you'll learn how to use a credit card and actually get a credit card to actually build your credit as opposed to just using it as extra money, like a stimmy check and not paying it back. You'll know like, oh no, actually I need to keep paying this because my credit score is going to go up. And when my credit score go up, it's going to allow me to be able to, you know, have a low interest rate down the line if I do want to get that Rolls Royce or a Bentley. I mean, that's kind of, or a Lamborghini, the stuff that we want fast. Well, if you start working on the stuff and be cognizant of it, you know, at an early age, then down the line, you can get a 1% interest rate on something of a type of car if you want a car note on something that you actually want. So learn money.
Learn money. I think that's perfect. I think that's financial literacy is one of the biggest downfalls of education for Black people. Because again, all white people are not rich.
No.
And a lot of their money, they have the money because they know how to recycle the money within their own communities and in their own families and generational wealth. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, and so it's not necessary. They know how to make $100,000 be something that goes down the line and influence their families. And like you said, I didn't even know about the life insurance thing, but yes, financial literacy, you know what I'm saying? You're not in a place in the idea that you have to work so hard for the money. Oh, I gotta just go. I gotta get that money. I got to work overtime.
That two-job situation, like I used to do, but getting two jobs, they go, oh yeah, I'm gonna work two jobs. That's making me more money. You never build wealth working two, just alone, working two jobs. I'm not saying you can't take the extra money and put it into something and then eventually build something with that. Mm-hmm. But work that two job, the thing that we get caught, I learned it from my mama. That situation, oh, I'm gonna work two jobs so that's gonna make me more money, that's a trap. That's call up, talk about getting stuck in a matrix. That's really being caught in the matrix. You'll never build wealth doing that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that was a good point to make. You know, that's what I was about to say, like, work smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think it comes with financial literacy, right? Because if you don't know about how making money and how to make money, like I'm just learning that, not making money, but just life. Like we ain't meant to work that hard. Like, you know, like we are not meant to work that hard. If a lot of people making money ain't doing shit. Now they're making money, they're right. Working, but the work that we've been taught to do, the work that we have to show up and how we have to show up is not reality. That is not reality. And it took years to learn. I'm like, bitch, I literally can work 10 hours a week and make some money that someone's working 50 hours a week. That's a possibility. That's reality. But it is, but they don't tell you that. So yeah, financial literacy is something else. And I just think if you learn it early, it is not that you have to be a person in finance or a person that's, you know, economics and all of that. We're not saying that. Just find out where the money resides.
That part.
The real money. The real
money. Right. That part.
Because it's there.
It's there.
And somebody going to get it. And like you were saying, like this whole conspiracy around Black folks and, you know, yeah, all that is real, right? We already know that we're always going to be at the bottom of the barrel, but Jay-Z is not a billionaire because nothing.
That part.
Black folks are making money. Where do you want to be on that totem pole? And you could definitely be a person making Black money, making money and changing, you know, the economic disparities amongst Black people in this community and abolishing the whole system that exists. You know, I feel like, you know, I've seen a lot more about this Wall Street bank and, you know, just a lot of the Greenwood Bank is coming back. You know, I think because of what we have experienced in the last couple of years as Black people, some people are putting their money where their mouth is to make opportunities for other, you know, get out of this crab in a barrel mentality when it comes to Black. So there are opportunities for you to be the person to make opportunities for other people. Because we already know that we are oppressed, we are financially oppressed, we're oppressed around, you know, like you said, that's going to always be there. Mm-hmm. But you can still be financially stable and change the status quo when it comes to financial abundance in your community, your family, and your household.
And let me say this, it does not mean that you have to start a business. You can work corporate or work a job, because I've heard some people recently saying, big people need to stop telling people, you didn't say that. I'm just saying, I don't want to seem like I'm trying to say that. Look, if you were going to work at a corporation to do it, you can work as a at a job working entry level and still be financially literate where you got money somewhere working for you and you're still going to a job. If that's more comfortable for you, you can do it that way. Just make sure that you got something else or you're thinking about other ways to have money working, or, you know, you have knowledge of money or how to make it work for you. So you're not, you know, stressing yourself out and only definitely not, I would say definitely not getting to a point where you have to be stressing about what you're going to do with your retirement, all that kind of stuff. Learn money early. So even if you do keep on working that job and you know other things to do with your money to make your money work for you, you'll still be ahead. So you don't have to worry about some of that stuff. And you can still do this with a job if you don't want to do nothing else. You can, matter of fact, you can, owning money in the stock markets is owning, is owning business. That's having a business. You're owning share, your own shares of different businesses. So you're a business owner. If you don't want to, I don't want to own a business. Well, if you invest in the stock market, you are a business owner. You own shares of these different businesses. You are a business owner. So that's just that on that. But
anyway. You don't have to, it's a lot of money to be made. You ain't got to be the one disseminating the money. You get, like, it's about financial literacy. Like you said, it's not about you the one signing the checks. You could have someone signing the check for you, but you're going to know what to do with that money. You're going to know how much you're worth, how much that check should be signed from the beginning, based on your worth and your hours and all of that. That is what we're saying about financial literacy. Because, a lot of people, it's money to be made. A lot of people got money just to give out. They might need you to be a social media, it pay you $100,000 just to do that because you got, you know, 35,000 followers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, honestly, that's a job.
It is.
And someone's paying you to do it. Just saying. So, yeah. So, all of those things. I love this episode because, like I said, I have so many gay kids and that's coming up. And I'm really strongly encouraging to listen to this episode. Because I just wish we were told a lot of these things in our 20s. We wasn't. No one took the time. No one took the effort. Nope. But, you know, we figured it out. We're figuring it out. But we just going to pay it forward to the next generation. Girl, at least we know now to say it now.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's how the generational wealth and community come up. Sharing,
and that's how we change it, because we talk about it. We don't act like, you know, that's the big issue. A lot of times we don't talk about the problems. We don't act like they exist and just black them out. No, this is an issue. Well, all these things that we talk about are issues within the gay community that we don't talk about. And then we look at the people that does come up, just I ain't gonna say legit, but you look at that and it's like, it's a foreign thing, but it's like, we can all be doing that. It's not only, they're not that special, no shade.
Yeah, no one's doing nothing you can't do.
That part.
Period. Period. And that's on What Mary Had a Little Lamb. But Edmonton, where can they reach you at, girl?
Y'all can find me, well, you can go to my website, essenceofstyle.com. That's my digital home. Or you can find me on Essence of Style on Instagram. Hit me up in messages or DM if you have anything you want to say or say anything to me. I'm very active. I am on Twitter. I am on TikTok. I am on Pinterest. Hell, I even have a page on YouTube. But I'm always on Instagram. So come to Instagram if you want to holler at me.
Holler at me, holler at me, holler at me. You know I'm at. I'm Mr. Telltales in the back. You can hit me up on IG and that's the fact. You can come across my page on Facebook. But I'm sorry, daddy. It don't take too much of a look. Hey, I'm on Twitter a bit, but you know what it is. You know where that shit's reside. That's all it is. I'm just Telltales. All platforms. What worked for us? Leave, like, subscribe.
All that. All the above.
Holla. I gotta hold it down. Carry the torch. I'm a